Welcome, curious minds, to the deep dive. Today, we're tackling something that honestly feels like it's straight out of science fiction. Think like the infinite improbability drive from Hitchhiker's Guide.
Yeah, it has that feel sometimes.
We're talking about quantum computing, and our mission today is to explore how this, well, this really mind-bending field it pulls from physics, computer science, math, how it's getting ready to solve problems classical computers just can't touch, and how it's getting tangled up with AI.
Deeply tangled, yeah.
So the absolute core difference. Classical computers use bits, right? Always a zero or a one. Simple switch.
On or off.
Exactly. But quantum computers, they use qubits. And these qubits can be in superposition. That means they're kind of both zero and one at the same time. Like, imagine a spinning coin instead of one that's landed heads or tails.
It embodies both possibilities simultaneously.
Right. And this lets them do quantum parallelism, tackling tons of calculations all at once. And then there's entanglement. When qubits get linked, measuring one instantly tells you about the other, no matter how far apart. It's weird.
It's the spooky action at a distance Einstein talked about.
Yeah.
And yeah, those two things, superposition and entanglement, that's really the heart of quantum power. It's fascinating, though, that the seeds for this were planted way back early 20th century physics.
Oh, yeah. Like who?
Well, you had Max Planck talking about quanta. Niels Bohr's model, the atom, and Einstein himself, even though he was skeptical about entanglement, his work was crucial. It seemed like a paradox then, but now it's key.
So, okay, interesting physics. But when did someone say, hey, maybe we can compute with this weird quantum stuff? Was there a specific aha moment?
I'd point to Richard Feynman around 1981. He had this visionary idea. He basically said, look, classical computers really struggle to simulate quantum systems because, well, they're classical. The complexity just explodes exponentially.
Right.
But a quantum computer, it should be naturally suited to simulate quantum mechanics. That really got people thinking.
Okay. That makes sense. But, you know, I think for a lot of people, the moment it got really real was 1994. What happened then? That seems like a turning point.
Oh, absolutely. Peter Shor, he published his algorithm. Mm. And it showed that a quantum computer, if you could build one big enough, could factor large numbers incredibly fast.
Factor large numbers, which sounds maybe a bit niche, but...
It was a bombshell.
Yeah.
A cryptographic earthquake, people called it. Because the security of so much of our digital world, think online banking, secure communications, things protected by RSA encryption, it relies on the fact that factoring huge numbers is hard for classical computers.
Ah, I see. So Shor showed a quantum computer could potentially break that.
Exactly. Suddenly, this wasn't just lab curiosity. It was a matter of national security, economic security.
Yeah.
It kicked off this huge wave of interest, billions in funding. Quantum computing became strategically vital almost overnight.
Okay, fast forward to today. We're in this NISQ era. Noisy intermediate scale quantum. The noisy part sounds important.
It is. It means that while we have quantum processors with a decent number of qubits, now that's the intermediate scale part, those qubits are still very fragile. They're finicky.
Oh.
They suffer from decoherence. Basically, any tiny interaction with the environment, a little vibration, a stray bit of radiation, even tiny temperature changes can make them lose their quantum state, their superposition, or entanglement. Poof!
So they lose the magic.
Pretty much. And to fight that, they often need extreme conditions. We're talking operating temperatures near absolute zero, colder than deep space. Just building and maintaining that is a, well, a monumental engineering feat.
Wow. So does that noise mean they're not actually useful yet?
Not necessarily. It's the major hurdle, yeah, but the progress is still incredible.
Yeah.
And it's forcing a shift in focus. It's less about just counting the raw physical qubits and more about creating logical qubits. These are like groups of physical qubits that work together with error correction built in, making them much more stable and reliable. That's the real goal for fault-tolerant computing. And in the meantime, these hybrid quantum classical systems, where quantum processors work alongside classical ones, are already starting to show an edge.
And we're seeing different approaches, too, like... superconducting qubits. Alto University just hit millisecond coherence times. That sounds huge.
It is, yeah. Big step for stability.
Yeah.
And you've got IBM with their Condor chip over the 1,000 qubits, aiming for maybe 200 logical qubits by 2029. Google's Willow chip reportedly did a calculation faster than the age of the universe for a classical machine.
That's just mind-bending. And then there are trapped ions.
Yep, another leading approach. IonQ's aiming for about 100 physical qubits soon. And they have this goal of a cryptographically relevant quantum computer, CRQC, by 2028. That's talking 1,600 logical qubits. enough, they say, to crack standard RSA encryption.
Okay, so the race is definitely on. And quantinuum, they talk about quantum volume.
Right, which is a different metric trying to capture not just qubit count, but quality connectivity error rates. They hit 8 million recently, showing strong performance on complex tasks.
And it's not all about universal computers either. DUI has quantum Ehlers. They're seeing real use cases now.
Yeah, for specific optimization problems, like 40-dosen cutting vehicle scheduling time way down, Japan Tobacco using it for drug discovery aspects. It shows the practical value starting to emerge even in this NISQ era.
So bringing this back to AI, why does AI need quantum? Is it just about making current AI faster?
Well, speed is part of it, but it's more fundamental, I think. It's about giving AI a new kind of capability, a qualitative shift. AI today is great, but simulating the quantum world accurately, that's incredibly hard for classical systems.
Because the complexity explodes, like Feynman said.
Exactly. Quantum computers speak the language of quantum mechanics. So AI running on or working with quantum hardware could potentially understand and simulate molecular interactions for, say, drug discovery with just unprecedented precision. Imagine designing hyper-targeted drugs.
Wow. Or new materials.
Precisely. Designing materials from the atom up with specific desired properties. That's a huge area.
Okay, but we also have the cybersecurity elephant in the room, Shor's algorithm. If quantum computers can break current encryption, what then?
It's a massive challenge, no doubt. But quantum also offers the solution. Post-quantum cryptography, or PQC. These are new encryption methods designed to be resistant to both classical and quantum attacks.
And companies are already working on this.
Oh, actively. Google, Microsoft, standardization bodies. They're all racing to develop and implement PQC solutions to protect data for the future. Mm-hmm. It's a critical transition.
So we've gone from this almost philosophical physics idea to these incredibly complex, finicky, but powerful machines. Quite a journey.
It really is. And you see this deep symbiotic relationship emerging with AI. Quantum gives AI new problems to solve and new ways to solve them. And AI, in turn, is actually helping accelerate quantum research itself, designing experiments, controlling qubits.
That's fascinating. But here's maybe a final thought, something beyond just the tech, the success of all this. It seems like it also depends heavily on people, right?
Absolutely critical. You can have the best hardware, the smartest algorithms, but without the people to develop, run, and apply it.
And I read there's a severe quantum computing skills shortage. The U.S. government even calls it a national security vulnerability. Projections that less than half the needed quantum jobs will be filled by 2025.
That's the reality. Building this future requires cultivating a whole new generation of quantum literate scientists, engineers, technicians. Mm-hmm. It's a massive educational and workforce challenge alongside the technical one.
It really makes you wonder, doesn't it? With all these challenges and possibilities, what truly astonishing, maybe even improbable realities are we just about to compute into existence? Something to ponder.